Like Glendale and Pasadena, that's...
First, at the Philosophical Research Society, that's out at 3910 Los Feliz Boulevard in Los Angeles, use of color and light can make a difference in your life. Now, this seminar is designed to increase your awareness of the intricate role that light and color play in our emotional and physical makeup. Scientifically proven effective, color can have the ability to heal and stimulate our bodies and repair itself naturally without toxic drugs and other side effects. This New Age therapy can be a viable method of preventative medicine. Hear lectures and slide presentations by Barbara Colby, well-known interior designer who's done studies in the healing properties of color, and Priscilla Dewey, the lecturer on the Brenler color method of healing. Now, if you're interested in holistic and preventative medicine, the effects of color, the visual arts, don't miss this dynamic presentation on January 31st. For more information, call 818-242-8788. That's 818-242-8788. Now, Alexandria 2 Bookstore in Pasadena has a wide selection of motivational books, cassette tapes, and subliminal tapes to help you decide to lose weight or make changes in your life or just enjoy your life the way it is right now. And there are books and tapes to enlighten the mind and the body and the soul, from astral projection to Zen. Also books on dreams and ley lines, UFOs, so much more, even crystals and crystal jewelry. And remember, Alexandria, too, still has the largest selection of metaphysical video rentals and sales. And for a real treat, my good friends Dale Walker and Nick Messerino will be on a panel workshop on crystals. That'll be Monday, February 9th. And learn beginning and intermediate astrology the fun and easy way with famed astrologer Lee Holloway, teaching a 4-lecture series that'll be coming in February. That's Alexandria 2 Bookstore at Colorado and Rosemead in Pasadena. For reservations, call Alexandria 2 at 818-792-7885. That's 818-792-7885.
Plans to get out there? I'll have a chance to meet you if you do come out. Here's Robert. Robert, you're on. Yes. Yay.
You hear me?
I got you now.
Okay, hello, Gret and Dick.
Hi there.
First of all, I want to state that I do believe in channeling. Now, this is like a two-part question. I want to ask you a real quick one after this. You have all these people who are attending these channelers who set up sessions charging hundreds to thousands of dollars for a certain amount of time. Now, how does someone tell between a real channeler and somebody with a photographic memory who's regurgitating the Seth books? You know, how can you tell these? You know, if this is something, a gift to you, and I believe, you know, you when you say you do it, Greta. A lot of these people, they charge a couple hundred dollars for an hour session. How do you know they haven't picked a time in history, created a character, read Jane Roberts, and now are regurgitating all this to an unsuspecting, believing, maybe sad and depressed people, or looking for a truth?
Robert?
Yes.
It could very well be that what you say is so. And I often wonder myself. I don't happen to go to listen to these people, but I know many who do. I can only answer for myself. I never channel for anyone because I can't conjure it up. My goodness, we're not dealing here with disincarnates. We're dealing with an advanced civilization. I can't ask them to come, nor would I ask them to come. I have never asked a personal question ever in all the years that I'm dealing with the Ogata group. They come when they choose, and they tell me what they feel we should know and what message we should proliferate. The major message really is, consider awesome possibilities. These are entities from an advanced civilization who have a higher technology than we. I am not capable of conjuring them up or channeling on command in front of a mic in public or for a TV or radio show. I don't do it. So I can't really speak for anyone else. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you are the spokesman for them. The message of change is what they wanted to get across. And the participation of over 20-plus civilizations to try and help planet Earth in its transition. Now, Robert, I heard your question, and we appear to have begged it, but it's from lack of knowledge. I'm sure that what you say has some validity, and it will require your being circumspect to weed out that which is true and that which is theatrical.
All right, and I wanted to just a quick one. You mentioned Andrei Hapuharik. This fellow, from my stand, I read a book that he wrote about Uri Geller, who since has basically been debunked. Now, this man championed Uri Geller. Now, I haven't seen Uri Geller. I'm a fellow countryman of his from Israel. I've been to Israel in the past couple of years, on and off. Ain't heard nothing of him there. Now, since Uri Geller basically has been shown to see, basically debunked, let's say, for example, this thing, look at your watches and stop. Well, how many people, you know, actually may have looked at their watches right when the show started? So how do you lend credibility to anything this man, Andre Pahark, says when he, you know, associated with men like Geller, who since has been, he wouldn't take tests,
oh, my goodness, Robert, I don't think you're very well informed on your countrymen. Uri Geller was at SRI for 4 years under Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff. He went through every test known to man. He was a very cooperative subject, and he has not been debunked by everyone. He's been debunked by the Randy the Magicians of the world, who make it their business to be negative. I know Uri very well. He's a lovely young man. Has he ever cheated? He certainly has. He was a magician at one time. He was a performer. He regrets it deeply. I have seen him do wonderful things. I have bent metal with him. I have seen watches stop. I defend Uri because I think he's been maligned. Let me tell you, as a former guinea pig of the labs,
okay,
you can go through tests day after day after day with strain gauges and all of this business and be successful 6 days in a row. And if you miss one day, are you aware that you go back to zero? They throw out all the data because it wasn't replicable?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, be aware of it. And I don't blame Uri for having finally said, hey, the hell with it. I'm just not going to be bothered in the labs anymore, and I'm going to go out and make money.
But I
and
tell
that's
you,
exactly what he did.
I have to agree with you, Greta. You talked to Russell Targ, who's quite often a guest on the show, the people at the Stanford Research Institute. In my own hand, my key bent right out of my finger because of Uri Geller. And even our own Michael Jackson right now will tell you that he did some incredible things. And if you've listened to Michael's show, you know that Michael is the skeptic of skeptics
when
it comes to this kind of thing.
I'm weary of the whole metal-bending thing. You and I have had some wild metal-bending together, Bill.
Yes, indeed.
So I know what can be done. But I think that Uri has been sadly maligned. Dr. Buharic brought him to this country and put him on the map. And, you know, I say good for him. He spent a fortune to do it.
And if you're wondering about Andrea, Robert, I want you to go out to the Whole Life Expo in 2 weeks. Andrea will be there. You'll come away a changed man, I'll tell you that.
All right, where can I get a copy of your book, Greta? Who publishes it?
Star 448 Rabbit Skin. Happy to send it to you.
How much?
We charge $7 for the soft cover and $12 for the hard. There are a little more in the story.
They'll give you all the information if you write them.
And 2,300 yen in Japanese.
That's there right. We're out in Japanese.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Greta.
Bill.
Good question, Robert. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bill, before we take another one, can I have a moment?
Let me do something first, okay?
Sure.
And then we'll be right now with Greta Woodruff on Talk Radio 79K.
Expo. Now, the Expo is the largest event of its kind in Southern California, featuring some of the best speakers on holistic, metaphysical, and leading-edge areas. And I'll be hosting a science and metaphysics panel that includes Dr. Andrea Pahorich and Stephen Swartz, Brad Seiger, Marcel Vogel. The Expo features over 150 speakers, including Nitzhoffen, Kevin Ryerson, Lazarus, Peter Guy Manners, Dale Walker, Walter Gross, Peter Hercos, Bob Beck, Jack Swartz, Alan Sheedy, and Harley Swiftdeer. Now, this is the place to experience these and many other speakers for a low $15 for the entire three-day event. In addition, the Whole Life Expo features over 200 exhibitors, 75 in-depth workshops, and intuitive art rooms, natural foods dining area. And on Saturday night, February 7th, the Expo will present a special channeling experience, The Future, How We Create It, featuring Kevin Ryerson and Jack Purcell. That's Lazarus, hosted by Joyce DeWitt. For further information, call them at 213-451-1314. That's 451-1314. Got the stand.
When the young man Robert asked about Uri, again, in defense of an Uri Geller, who spends years of his life trying to build up something, and then has people in a skeptical eye tear it down, or a Randy tear him down, I wanted to share with your audience something that we put into our update, and it goes like this, if I remember it right. I saw them tearing a building down, a gang of men in a busy town. With a yo, heave-ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a sidewalk fell. And I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? Skilled as the men you'd hire if you were to build? And he laughed and he said, oh, no, indeed. Common labor is all I need. I can wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. So I asked myself as I went my way, Which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, who measures life with a rule and a square? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town, content with the labor of tearing down? And I think it's a wonderful little verse, and I don't know who to credit it to.
Well, I'm just going to credit it to you, and I love it.
No, it's not mine. But I memorized it because I love it. And we ran it in one of our updates, you'll remember. And I just... People are so free to criticize that which they do not understand. I myself have no axe to grind. Nobody can laugh at me because I laugh louder at myself.
I find that some of the most amusing things in the world, and that's just Bill. Okay,
sure.
We have Renzo on the line. Hello,
okay,
Renzo.
Okay, Renzo.
Good evening, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, hear you fine.
Okay, I have a question for your guest tonight. Greta, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Greta, I have a question that just blocks my mind. You're channeling the Ogada group, and evidently they are leaving information to us. And the one thing I just don't understand is how come people from a different solar system can talk to us in English?
Language it has no barrier. I have found myself speaking in Switzerdeutsch, in Icelandic, in Spanish, in many languages, none of which I know, certainly in this lifetime. Language is not a barrier. It's the only language, however, that we understand. And so, of course, they speak to us in English.
But we did learn a Ogaden word.
Oh, I have many. I have hundreds and hundreds because we always ask them, how would you give us these words or concepts in Ogaden? In fact, I listed 12 of them in the back of On a Slide of Light, and 8,000 people have responded to these words, trying to puzzle them out through their own meditations. I'm here to tell you that two did it. Only two, but how exciting to have the two.
Well, I know what Luhara means.
Yes, you do, Bill. That answer you, Ranzi.
Let me throw something in that might clarify. At a meeting in Prague, Czechoslovakia, a Hungarian gentleman was able to telepathize with a Russian gentleman, a Russian sensitive, and neither spoke each other's language, and yet they were able to telepathize their thoughts so that in the transmission of thought, language doesn't play a part.
I can understand that, but they transmit thoughts to Greta, and then Greta is giving them to us. I thought maybe she is somehow, her knowledge of the English language is being used, but now she's telling me that she can also perform in Spanish and some other languages channeling.
I asked the question when we were going to mainland China in 1978, and they had told us that language was mechanical and that it was not anything to switch from one language to the other for an advanced civilization. And I said, how about giving me the ability to communicate in Chinese? And they started to laugh, and they said, there are many other levels of education that you need before you get the mechanics of language. Suffice to say, it's a mechanical technology that is within the range of their abilities.
Does that help you, Renzo?
Yes, certainly does.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you,
okay.
Thank you, sir.
There's our little orchestra fired up, which means we're going to take a break and pause for the news.
Thank you,
Bill. From ABC, Bill Jenkins, and we're sort of on a slide of light, and that means that we have with us from North Carolina, from Rabbit's Foot Road.
Rabbit's Skin.
There's a little skin on the foot, I guess. Greta Woodrue and her husband Dick Smolo, who have been touring the world telling the message that Greta has received from a very unusual place. A group of beings that live in a different time, a different place, a different galaxy, but are very concerned about the affairs of planet Earth and are here to help. And one of the ways of helping is to help us cope with the things that we are going to have to endure before we are really thrust into this golden new age. Would that be one way to put it?
It certainly would. I think the bottom line of their message is simply that this planet is destined for changes on a grand scale. The changes will not happen overnight. They will happen gradually. And those best prepared for the changes will make the smoothest transition. And those who are not prepared simply will not make it.
The newscast we just heard.
Yes.
Big earthquake.
China.
Yes, big earthquake there. Of course, earthquakes are going on all the time, but there seems to be an enormous intensity in them. Cycling on the upward scale, volcanic activity is higher, earthquake activity is higher than it's been in memory, I think.
That's right.
And growing.
And growing. Small ones always presage large ones. That's history.
And, of course, whenever you talk about earthquakes to the people of Los Angeles, you're striking close to our heart.
Well, I hope it's not striking close to your homes.
We do, too. A great deal of effort is being made in this area to cope with what we think will be the inevitable 8-point or better earthquake, which will do a lot of damage, of course. A lot of readiness is underway. Around this radio station, for instance, which will be a very vital link of communications because our transmitter and our towers are all together in our studios, as opposed to most other stations where there's a great distance between the transmitter and the studios.
Well, you know, Bill, Discover Magazine, a part of Time, Inc., ran a cover story entitled Earthquake. Did you see it?
Yes.
It had a very explicit sub-headline which said, there is a 50 to 90% chance that a major quake will devastate Los Angeles in the next 50 years. It could happen in the year 2036, or it could happen next week.
1987.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
I mean, you know.
But we know that all of the ingredients are there along this major fault line that we have out there. But that's not the only major fault line, and that's not the only thing that can happen. We've seen surf storms. We've even had a little tsunami that didn't quite make it down to Los Angeles. Great earthquakes up in the Aleutians. Earthquakes everywhere.
Every weather pattern is changing. Wherever we go, people start off the sentence with, it's never been as. And then you can fill it in. Hot, cold, wet, dry. We had a drought here that was unprecedented this past spring. Right here in North Carolina.
Now you're having unprecedented cold up in that area.
We're going to get 8 inches of snow tonight. So wherever you go, you see this changing climatic picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is precisely what they told us in 76, that this would be the trigger that starts these tremendous changes on spaceship planet Earth.
But it isn't all gloom and doom.
Or not at all. We have never looked upon it as gloom and doom. Every time there's been change, man has come out better, stronger.
The big change will be in man, you're saying?
I think so. 90% of the species have gone to extinction, but not man. Man is meant to survive. Bucky Fuller said that, and I believe it. Man is meant to survive.
Just a crafty character, man.
Yes.
You know, evolution is life-oriented. It's not always kind, but after the evolutionary stage, which can be cataclysmic, the species that evolve are of a higher order than previously inhabited the planet. So it is life-oriented and it is progressive, Bill.
All right, let's go to Kurt. Kurt, you're on.
Hello, Bill. Good evening. Hello, Greta and Dick.
Hi there.
It's
Hi,
a
Kurt.
Pleasure speaking with you, and I've just been sitting here listening to you, and you've got my mind blown. It has been said that our science and our technology would suffer tremendously if the truth about UFOs were given. I believe it was Edwin Slade or Larry Fawcett who said that I think it was the CIA had said to him that the American public could never stand the truth about UFOs. Have the Ogadens forwarded to you any information?
That's a good question. They speak to us with an Ogaden word. They talk about the coming of the Gatai. The Gatai are the spacecraft. We have been privileged to see their craft twice. You know, I thought I had coined the phrase the Cosmic Watergate back in 77, but I hear that it had been used before. I think there is a Cosmic Watergate. I think it began with John Foster Dulles way back when they felt that if the people heard, the people would panic. And fear, of course, is a killer. I don't believe that for a moment. I think that if people are told the truth, they ingest it and they adjust to it. I myself don't get involved too much with the UFO problem, because frankly, most groups are out there to prove they exist.
Mm-hmm.
I know they exist.
Right.
I'm gonna waste my time on it. When I see one which isn't that often, it's only been twice, I'm awed by them. From another time and space, my goodness. But to extrapolate from that, it boggles my mind that when so many, many Americans see these UFOs, they're still confused.
I've seen them at least four times in my life.
Okay, then where is the confusion about those who man them? So they don't look like we do, or they do. What difference?
But we're making progress now, Kurt. I'm sitting now, while you're talking, looking at articles from the Washington Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and the New York Times. And it deals with the incident in over Anchorage, Alaska, of the Japanese airline pilot, Captain Taruki.
Oh, yes. Fantastic sighting.
Yes.
And I'm sure it ran in the Los Angeles papers, but this I want to quote one line from the Philadelphia article here. It tells the whole story, and the tagline at the end is, "It's about time for a close encounter of the truthful kind."
I'm always reminded what Arthur Clarke said. The one fact about the future of which we can be absolutely certain is that it's going to be utterly fantastic.
I was very delighted to see that the Los Angeles Times did run the story up there, and so did the American Broadcasting Company. Ran it for days. In fact,
I think that's great, Bill.
I first heard the story on Paul Harvey News.
Really?
And I do have some other information.
Listen, we had traffic backed up, they say, for almost 30 miles 2 years ago when they were having all of these UFO sightings right in a suburb of New York.
That's right, in upstate New York.
Thousands,
we did a whole show on it.
Thousands and thousands of people seeing them. We had quite an experience with two students in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, who told us that one came down, landed. About 2,000 people were there. They greeted them very respectfully with gestures. They were small entities, very gentle-looking creatures who indicated they'd be back, and with great solemnity, they stayed on the ground and then took off. Then, of course, you know what happened in Zimbabwe, so these two people that we met had to move. We met them in Botswana when we were on safari, and they came over to me and told me this story, and they said, and imagine, one was sighted here in Botswana just a month ago. 500 or 600 people gathered to see it, and met them with gunfire. They never landed. So do you blame them? You
know, I don't blame them for
happening a few times.
You know. So wherever you go in the world, you hear people who have seen legitimate, unidentifiable flying objects.
So, but they are being seen by more and more people, and you can't fool.
You can't deny it.
And to go back to your question, yes, the Ogata Group say we will see more and more of them.
Particularly during the course of this year. I thought it was interesting, too, on the Japanese or the JAL incident in Alaska, that the FAA radar was picking it up also, but only on its every third sweep. And the radar monitor on board the aircraft is a color monitor, but it was showing its readout from the craft in green only.
What was interesting about the FAA report, Bill, was that the first encounter they reported, the second encounter they reported, and the third encounter, they then backed away and said it to be a split image of the Japanese airliner after confirming it as an unidentified
flying
object.
Right, that was the conclusion they came up with.
Of course, that doesn't really hold too much water. The Air Force got to them, and that's a very sensitive area.
Light again.
It's a very sensitive area for the Air Force up there. They don't know what they're dealing with. It's right across the way from the Soviet Union. So you can understand the Air Force's reticence to talk, other than the fact that they say that they tracked it as well.
Bill, can I just ask Greta one more thing?
Sure.
I've had these series of dreams over a period of about 10 years. And I have the same dream, every 6 or 7 months. And I see tremendous winds, ash and things falling from the sky on the ground, and people screaming, and terrible vortex-type hurricane-like winds. I mean, they're coming from the ocean, and they're devouring houses. And I mean, I wake up in a cold sweat. They're so real. It's like I'm right there. And
we'll have to hope that that is not a prophetic dream. You are aware that more brain cells are active in your sleeping state than they mm-hmm. are in your waking state. Sometimes it makes you wonder whether you're awake or asleep, doesn't it? But these aren't prophetic dreams. And I must tell you with great sadness that I have heard this dream again and again.
Yes, I have.
I've heard it from other people.
Who have been strangers to me. I've sat down and had a cup of coffee, and they're telling me the same dream.
May I make a suggestion to you?
Sure.
I wouldn't talk about it again. I'm very large on putting positive thoughts out into the cosmos, if you will.
Right.
And the more that these things are talked about and hyped, I think the more possible it is that we can bring them into fruition. When you think of something as problematic, and most thinking does start with negative connotations, you're putting that negativity out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to overcome it before it ever happens. So,
these things don't have to happen.
Sharing it, but I wouldn't share it again.
Remember, a thought is in the virtual state, is a thing. It's energy.
Exactly.
And it can and has the ability to bring into being whatever it is that you're thinking.
Well, I'll leave you. I'll certainly not talk about it again. And Greta, bless you. And Dick and Bill, thank you very much.
Let me say one thing. The work done at Maimonides Hospital, a hospital in one of the boroughs in New York City, in their dream labs, has confirmed the fact that in a dream state you can go forward or backward in time. It is very possible to go into the future.
Let's mm-hmm. hope you're looking at something in the past.
Well, I think that
Bob Monroe tells us you can do that in the out of body state as well.
Right, you can.
I know I'm a sensitive person myself. You call yourself a sensitive. I know I am, and I've seen UFOs 3 or 4 times in my life. 4 times, and
well, keep looking. Best to look to the stars anyway. Don't you agree?
Oh, I quite agree with you, and I think some fantastic events will take place in the future of a very positive nature,
well,
and I don't believe our scientists can do anything about it.
We hope that you are what the Ogata Group calls an architect of the future.
Well, that's a beautiful thought.
And you got to remember about those UFOs you saw. If you were to talk to any bureaucrat in government, particularly military, they would tell you it was swamp gas.
Well, I think that the public is becoming quite aware and much smarter, and I think that if anything, we will all learn the truth about UFOs, and there's nothing that those people out there can do about it.
There's an interesting thing you can do if you have a personal computer with a modem on it. There's a very valuable service that's located up in Washington State called QFON. That's Computer UFO Network, where you can punch into that and just get one government document after another. Signed by General Twining, signed by George C. Marshall, signed by the J. Edgar Hoover, signed by Air Force Intelligence, CIA, that details specifically what the government of the United States...
A lot of it's crossed out. A lot of the reports are crossed out, and there's 2 words left on some of them.
Oh, yeah, some of them are blanked out, but there's enough information there to say that the government knows all about them.
Yeah.
But they figure that we're all sheep and we're too stupid.
Well, that's right. They figure we'll just kick back, watch the television, and blame the commies for all our problems.
That's right. Listen to the laugh tracks on television and you'll be okay.
Well, okay, Bill, and thank you, Greta and Dick, and it's been a pleasure. And I'll be listening, continuing to listen to the radio.
Thank you, Kurt.
Have a good evening, Bill.
Appreciate you being aboard.
Bye-bye now.
We're 22 minutes past 10 o'clock on this Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Greta Wood.
Well, what is star, really?
What is star?
Everybody asks this question that took this for... STAR, which stands for Space Technology and Research, and the facilities that we've built are constantly evolving. They're open-ended. For our many STAR supporters, it's sort of an insurance policy, I guess you'd say, against the uncertain future. It's a bastion of security in an isolated setting that's prepared to take them in should a major catastrophe strike their area and they can get here. And when we first started speaking out on this, that appeared kind of unlikely. But now, as you said before, everyone's conscious, for example, of earthquake possibilities, flooding possibilities, breakdowns in the logistics in their cities and towns. And towards this end, we built underground storages to help tide people over for an extended period. We certainly don't need it for ourselves. We have our own in our own lovely home. Who are the people we're preparing for? I don't know. Could be you, Bill, or anybody that's heard us, or anybody who's an updater, or anybody listening to this program. And, of course, we at STAR and those who come through spend 7 days a week working to advance all aspects of parasensory phenomena, psi research. And as you know, there is no backing to this. This is something Dick and I do because we're devoting our lives to it. And everything that we do goes to STAR. All the book sales go to STAR. All the lectures go to STAR. All the update, subscription fees go to STAR. And that's how we continue to do what we do. And it's a place to learn. We have many, many who come because they need healing. And I spend a great deal of time in trying to put them back in harmony out of dis-ease. And that's one of the joys of my life, being able to do that. And we try to teach them skills when they...